You're listening to The Daily Traditionalist with Matthew Heidmark at RadioArian.com.
Comrades, this is your host of The Daily Traditionalist, Matthew Heidmark. I am joined by my good friend, Mr. Sven Longshanks. At the end of our show, we plan to be joined by Mr. Florian Geyer. He's too busy for us right now, but God bless him and everything that he does. But we are here for a very exciting show, episode 2, here in 2017, from Europe. Lots of exciting stuff to talk about. So, first of all, let's kick things off. Sven, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I'm okay, Matt. Pretty good. It was just a few things that I wanted to get off my chest.
You know, I think you're right there, and Florian was as well, saying about, you know, it's not just in the abstract. You know, it really does start with you. I mean, we talk a lot online, and we talk a lot about politically organising, and we can be critical on forums or critical in comments on mainstream news sites. But what it really comes down to is making changes in your own attitude and having the courage to speak up and the courage to do what's right and the courage to be an example to your community of being positive and being when you're around other people, not going along with the crowd, not doing the silly things and taking a stand when people are supportive of multiculturalism. And it just recently, I've noticed that there's a non-white beggar outside one of the shops that I go to, and he can be quite vociferous in trying to get money out of you. So it's a big issue, which is supposed to be for homeless people, white homeless people. Only there are no more white homeless people working for this big issue organisation. It's all non-whites. It's all foreign beggars that have come to Britain that to scab and plead for money off of white people. And this guy was there and he's like sort of glaring at me, buy my magazine. I'm like, what the hell are you doing begging in my country? Get back to yours.
You know? You have a home, go back to it.
You know, charity begins at home. You know, I will look after my people. I've got my people on the streets that can't sell this big issue anymore because it's all taken up with Turks and Muslims and I don't know what kind of mystery meat. And the white people just can't get in there anymore. And we've got white people that need jobs and need to work. Now, I could have just ignored him and said, no, I'm not interested. But I made a point of saying it. And there were other people there as well, shoppers, that were shocked at me raising my voice. But I think, you have to take
that. That's so British, by the way, to be like, you raised your voice. Y'all are such a polite people.
Yeah, but this is what I mean by when you get given the opportunities, you have to take them. It's like when I have the opportunity to come out here and meet you in Florida, I have to take it. I have to do whatever I can to take that opportunity. You know, I've learned through my life that, you know, if you turn down these opportunities, you won't get them again, and then you'll regret that you didn't do something. No matter what, when Providence puts something before you,
amen,
you have to be thankful and you have to take it, and you have to do what you're being encouraged to do. It's almost like an intuition. The more you do the right thing, the more the right thing becomes apparent to you, what it is that you need to do.
Yeah,
if I'm explaining it right there.
No, I mean, I totally agree. I mean, fundamentally, we have to understand the idea of what we're fighting for. And what we're fighting for is faith, family, and folk. I mean, those three F's really explain everything we believe in, right? And to know that foreigners, I mean, the thing is that we're not disingenuous or we're not hateful. I mean, any of the terms that would be thrown onto us towards other peoples, it's just that they have their own home. You know, my two children, you know, I've got two sons, their primary concern, you know, is whether their father will be able to take care of them. That's what the nation is, that, you know, I have a duty to them. I have a responsibility to them. And as a country, you know, as a nation, you have duties and responsibilities to your countrymen. Or even as Europeans, I have less in common with a black beggar in the United States than I do a white beggar here in the Czech Republic or in Germany. Because that even if you're a European of a different nationality, you're still my kinsman. And what's been perverted is this idea of charity. You're supposed to have charity. The scriptures tell us that he who does not care of his own house is worse than an infidel. Our primary concern is those of our own blood, those of our own family, our own ancestry. And that's so important for us to know that foreigners have no right to our nations in terms of living here. They have no right to our charity. They have a right to charity within their own nation. But here in the United States, or in Canada, or in Germany, or Romania, Bulgaria, Serbia, that they have no right to be here. They need to be taken care of by their own people in their own country. That is their home that God hath given them, hath bestowed upon them, that they have a right to take care of their people, but we, you know, have to take care of ours, and we cannot take care of others while ours are still in need.
Well, this is just it, isn't it? I mean, our people aren't taught to have a sense of connection. We used to have, the British people used to feel a sense of connection to America, because America was settled mainly by the English people. And we used to have a sense of connection with you, as being part of the same people. But now we're told that we're the same people as everybody else. It doesn't matter if they're Pakistani, it doesn't matter if they're Nigerian, they can all be British as soon as they set foot on the magic soil, and they get given the
baptized in the soil of America.
And the kids are taught that, you know, that we went out and we colonized America and we colonized Australia, and these are our brothers, these are our racial kin. We're just not taught that. And the standards of education, what they're teaching the children nowadays is just absolutely horrific. I mean, they've got transsexuals going into the schools trying to teach the children that they have gender fluidity and they can choose whatever gender that they wish to be. And the official reason for actually doing this is because they may have different sexualities. But children can't have a sexuality. Children are below the age of consent. They shouldn't even be thinking about sex. They are asexual. They're not sexual beings, and yet our government are trying to sexualize them and brainwash them into thinking that it's perfectly fine to have blokes walking around dressed up as women. And they're also deliberately pushing in Negroes into the kindergartens to try to make them non-racist, even though it's one of the most basic instincts that we have is to be with our own people. I mean, they've had to do a serious number on our children to get us to reject being racist by the time we get to 10 or 11 or 12 years old.
Even though infant children have been proven in studies to have an affinity, this isn't just whites, it's blacks, it's mestizos, it's Asians, to have an affinity towards people of their own ethnicity, their own background, their own people, that every group of folks from the time you're a baby has an affinity towards your own, because that's normal, natural, and healthy. So, as you're saying, Sven, not to cut you off, but I apologize for that, but it's important to note that all races of humanity understand kinship with your own people within your own nation from the time that you're born. This isn't something that's invented, it's not taught to you, you just inherently know it, regardless of who you are, because that is your extended family.
It's actually stronger than gender as well. I mean, when they give children the choice of who they prefer, they can show them a mother type of another race, or they can show them a male of their own race, and they'll pick the male of their own race, not the mother of the other race. So it actually goes beyond gender. It's an instinctual thing that we have, an instinctual feeling that we have, that we know our own people, we feel comfortable with our own people, and we have to be seriously brainwashed to actually get rid of that and to think that it's a bad thing. You say that all the other races feel this, but it's only us that are told that we should be feeling bad about it. And that's not something that we would think up on our own. I mean, this is one of the biggest proofs that there is a subversive force among us that's causing this. Because why would you just suddenly go against your own people in that way? You wouldn't. There has to be an outside force that is encouraging us to hate ourselves and to be welcoming to the outsider, to the invader. The only people that it can be, I mean, it's quite obvious that it is Jews. They are the ones that are constantly advocating for diversity, constantly pretending to be white, fellow white men, constantly turning to white privilege. It's always the same ethnicity, same group of people.
Tim Wise is an honest white man, Sven. Like, even though he might be Jewish by heritage in every regard, and hates European civilization, he's an honest white man. His book was called White Like Me. So, who are you to question?
They're really blatant about it and two-faced with this double thing as well, with calling in for refugees into Britain, but no refugees into Israel. And it's like the Lord Dubs, who came up with the Dubs Amendment in Britain, which is basically an amendment to an act to say that Britain should allow in child refugees from anywhere in the world if it could be shown that they would be better off in Britain than where they were, which basically means that Britain has to accept every black, brown, or yellow immigrant that claims to be under 18 has to be accepted into Britain. Now, this guy is a Jew, and he says his reason for doing this is because Britain allowed him in when he was a Jew from Germany. But he has his own country. He has his own country now. But, you know, they didn't have Palestine at the time after the war. They had to go through a load of terrorist acts and massacre lots of British people and Palestinian people before they actually got their country there. But they do have their country there now. And the people he should be advocating for to accept refugees should be Jews in Israel. But he's not. He's advocating for them to come into the country that were kind enough to allow him to come in from, you know...
He has to punish your people.
Yeah.
And that's what it comes down to. The problem with the Jews, I mean, well, you know, hold on, how much time do you have? I mean, seriously, from killing Christ on down, but in terms of dealing with the Jews, the thing is, even if you deal with them fair and square, even if you are open and honest in every regard, they will then view that as weakness and look to destroy your nation. I mean, they do this in every country where they're in. Well, they will pretend to, you know, like a chameleon, will take on the appearance of being British, being American, being Canadian, being German, but they will always revert back when it's a time of defense to being Jewish. They will always reveal themselves, and they work unceasingly against the interests of their host nations. They are the worst parasites in the world. They don't just profit off of us, they have to kill us. That's in their nature. They are driven by Satan himself. As Christ himself said, you are of your father, the devil, and nothing has changed in 2,000 years. That they can't just profit off of the nation they're being a parasite on. They have to try and destroy it. They want to destroy everything that is good, wholesome, and holy. Everything that's organic, that's created by God Almighty, they want to destroy. This is who Jews are. And so when you tell me this, that you know, they're saying like, oh, we have to let in unlimited Africans, but we can never do this to Israel because we don't want Israel to lose its Jewish character. This is standard operating procedure for Jews.
Well, this isn't a Talmud, doesn't it? Even the best Gentiles should be killed. I mean, you know, it's quite there in black and white, and that's what happened in the First and the Second World War. The best of the Gentiles were killed. That is their plan. They have a plan in the Talmud how to take over the Gentile countries, how to turn the Gentiles into slaves, and that's what we saw with communism. And that's why when they took over the USSR and took over Russia and took over all these countries, they didn't run them to make a huge profit. They just ran them into the ground and killed all the people there. Because they can't go against their programming. They can't go against their instincts. The same as we can't, well, we have a choice. I don't believe we have a choice. I mean, we can go against our instincts. I believe our instincts are to do what's right. And yet, for the way we are conditioned from an early age is to actually do what's wrong. Because the Jews encourage us to do what's wrong. I believe they play a role of like a devil.
Flesh incarnate, that simple. I mean, literally created by by Satan to try and destroy what is good.
Well, that's what it tells us in the Bible, and I do take Christ's word, you know, literally there, when he says they are the sons of the devil, he means they are devils and they will behave like devils. That's not to say, oh, we should be exterminating them because they're devils, but we should just be realizing that that's what they do. They can't help doing that, and the reason for them doing that is to make us stronger. If you look at E. Michael Jones, he talks about the sicut judaeus non, which is basically you don't have the right to harm the Jew, you don't have the right to burn down his synagogues, but at the same time, the Jew does not have the right to be treated as an equal to you, does not have the right to be teaching you in school, does not have the right to be a politician. You know, he has to live on his own in his own communities. And this goes back to the early church ruling. Jews couldn't own slaves, Jews couldn't marry Christians, Jews couldn't teach Christians, because it was accepted that if they did, they would corrupt them. Because that's what they do, that's just naturally in them. We were warned about it by Christ, we were warned about it by the church, and yet through the love of gold, our kings brought them into our countries and thought that they would make lots of money from them. And you can look back in history, I mean, you can say, oh, this is just anti-Semitism. But you can look back in history and you can look at the letter that was sent to Oliver Cromwell begging for the Jews to be allowed back into Britain. And in this letter, he admits that all the Jews know how to do is usury.
Yep.
All they know how to do is be a middleman and make money from lending money, which basically...
Which is no labor, is no effort, is no sweat of their own brow.
They tried to teach them how to do labor, they tried to teach them how to work, and every single time it has failed. Every single time that they set up community farms, tried to teach them how to farm, and they were just unable to do it. They tried to teach them tradesmen skills. They're unable to do it. I mean, it's been tried in Britain, and I know it's been tried in Germany. Obviously, it was tried by the National Socialists, and basically, they lied about it, the Jews did afterwards, and said that, oh, there was gas chambers there. I mean, this is what that work will set you free means. It means, you know, you will find that if you work, you have a sense of pride, a sense of fulfillment.
Oh, it's another Holocaust! Sven, we can't work, you don't understand. It's literally you're killing us, Sven, you're killing us.
This is the mistake the Germans made, really. They were looking at the Jews, that the Jews would be like Germans, and if they did give them the opportunity to work, that they would appreciate that and they would benefit from it. But they're not like Germans, they're not Aryans, they're not like us. They are completely different, and if you lead them to their own devices, all they will do is corrupt us and destroy us, which is exactly what they're doing. And we really, as I say, I mean, it's basically our kings looking to make money from them, but it's our own fault that we've allowed this to happen. I mean, they are only a tiny minority of the population, and we've turned our back on Christianity, we've turned our back on our ancestors, we've turned our back on our traditions, and we've allowed them to basically take over our governments. And again, that's not anti-Semitic, you just have to look at the percentage of Jews in government, the percentage of Jews in the legislature, the percentage of Jews that own the newspapers, the media. You know, they control everything. That's why it's so important that we keep, you know, places like Radio Aryan open and various other forms of getting the information out to our people online. I've tried to do everything I can to ensure that it's not possible to actually take it down, but they will be trying their best to, as we've seen them doing with these other sites. But, you know, even if they do, we still know that we're in the right, and it's going to pop up again somewhere else, or someone else is going to do it, because you can't kill the spirit of the white man. It's just lying there under the surface. I mean, I haven't been a nationalist all my life, but once I did discover nationalism, it was basically discovering something that had been there all along. I just didn't know how to capitalize on it, and who else felt that way.
Because every normal human being feels it. Your kinship with your brothers and sisters is normal, natural, and healthy. So what you know in your heart, I mean, so many people, Sven, you know, have told me that they knew they've always been a National Socialist, but they didn't know how to explain it. They haven't read Mein Kampf for My Legionaries or The Writings of Leon Degrelle, but they knew what is normal. They knew what they're supposed to feel, that brotherhood, that fraternity with their brothers and sisters of the same ethnos. That's what normal people feel. I mean,
it's just not there, though, is it? Unless you're with nationalists.
Yeah.
You know, you look for that. You look for that sense of belonging and people that think the same way as you, and you just don't see it. And so people don't have the courage to speak up, and they just go along with what everybody else is doing because, you know, they think, well, I'm the odd one out thinking that this is wrong or that this is indecent or we shouldn't be doing this. And you don't realise that there is another group of people that are good people, that are trying to do what's right in the world. And they're the very people that are the most demonised. I mean, you know, you look in the newspapers, dreadful demon neo-Nazis, you know, how terrible they are. They don't want to be degenerate and they don't want to get drunk. I mean, it's just sensible things. I mean, when I was young, I used to, or when I was younger than I am now, when I was a youth, there was a form of music, Straight Edge, it's probably still going now. It was skinhead music, and it was people that didn't want to drink and didn't want to take drugs, wanted to just keep fit. And there was this, you know, there was a movement then, but it wasn't that big. I never really got that involved with it. But it's similar to that. It's this drive that we have to try and improve ourselves and do what's right, and it comes from us, from God, basically. It's I do believe the white race has been blessed more than any other race. We do have something special that the others don't have. This is why we bring civilization to wherever we go. This is why we create all these things. This is why we have so much innovation. I mean, it's not IQ, because we have Asians that have a higher IQ than us, but Asians don't create the things that we do. We have this blessing from God, and instead of thanking him for it and capitalizing on it and doing what we can with it, we say, oh no, we're just the same as everyone else. Oh no, we're just the same as the blacks. We haven't got anything special.
Well, it's a fundamental ungratefulness. I mean, that's what it comes down to. We are ungrateful of what we are given by God Almighty. We are ungrateful of his blessings. I mean, that's what it comes down to, Sven. I mean, as we're coming to the end here, of course. I mean, what we need to know is that we're ungrateful. That, you know, when your wife makes you a fine dinner or bears you a son or a daughter, be thankful for that. When your boss gives you a mercy, lets you go home early to be able to go take care of a family affair, like, be thankful. When your comrade sacrifices for you, be thankful. Everything about what we give, when we receive blessings, we should be thankful for it. The breath we breathe every day above ground is a blessing and a good day.
Well, I think, the way that the blacks look at us, they must resent the fact that we have all these gifts and yet we pretend that we don't have them. They must be really resentful of the fact that we have all of this and we don't do anything about it.
How unfortunate is that? Like, the idea that you've got, you know, a comrade with a Mercedes Benz and he says, oh, I drive a piece of garbage car. No, you should say, this is a wonderful car, and I'm thankful that I have it. And we should use our blessings that we've been given for the good of humanity, for the good of the planet, for the good of the environment, for the animals, for the seas, for the air, for the trees. We should understand our blessings.
Well, I think this is what they, you know, this drive saying that we've got white privilege. I mean, we are, we've been given gifts that the other races don't have. We do have something more, but it's not that, because of that, we should then give everything to those other races.
Well, the definition of humility is not the debasement of oneself below their station, but rather the proper recognition of their place in the order of nature and the universe. And so it's not humble to debase yourself beyond what your gifts are. If you're smart and you say, oh, I'm an idiot in comparison to other men, this is a lie. It's not humble. It's a species of pride. Right? But rather, one's station is compared to God, who is all-wise, all-knowing, all-good. And so, of course, your wealth in comparison to the infinite, the finite comparison to the infinite, the created in comparison to the uncreated, is a straw. And this is where we can say we have lowliness and poverty in spirit. But when we speak of the gifts that we've been given in a human context, with our fellows intended to serve our other fellows, it's a great waste, and indeed I would say a sin, to debase oneself and then not recognize the gifts that they've been given by the Lord Almighty.
It's like hiding your light under a bushel, isn't it? So if you've got gifts, then you should use them.
That's it, precisely.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons why I don't like...
Hashtag Freudian Geyer, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't like the, you know, the idea of hiding stuff behind a paywall. Yeah, I mean, we're trying to put stuff out to, for our people. The point of doing this is to do something to encourage our people, to inspire them, and to give something back, basically. And if you're hiding stuff behind a paywall, then people aren't going to hear it unless they've actually paid that money. You're not going to get anybody new. You're not going to get anybody that's interested in nationalism that's going to hear your stuff. And it just becomes, you know, a closed circuit of just trying to make money from people. If you've got a gift from God, you should be using it. Quite happy to accept donations from people. I mean, that's great. If people want to send us a tip or whatever, or buy us a beer, then, you know, you can send us some money. But to actually be charging for something, you know, like making podcasts or making any kind of nationalist content, I think it's wrong. I really do. You know, this is a new thing that seems to come out now, is people are putting stuff behind paywalls. It's, you know, I don't see how that is going to serve the 14 words, really, because it's not going to bring anyone else new to our cause. It's like, you know, it's basically a Jewish way of looking at things, I think.
Well, yeah, I think precisely. It's unfortunate because there's this kind of compromise that must be struck, because some people intend to do this business, that is to say propaganda or media creation, podcasting as their living, but it's impossible to sustain oneself.
Thinking, what am I doing wrong?
Right. It's not possible, unfortunately, because of the political climate, to sustain oneself as like a nationalist radio host. Right. But at the same time, I've never charged for podcasts, and I will not in the future. When people ask me, come to me with money, I encourage them to donate to those that need it, because it's no serious cost for me to produce a podcast. Now, it might be different in the case of gentlemen such as Sven Longshanks, who commit themselves to this on the general. But I think that we're told by our Lord, you have been freely given, so freely give to others. All of the gifts that I have are not my own sovereign property, but rather those of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. And so people ask me about where my knowledge or my acumen comes from. It's not my eloquence and my ability to speak is precisely about God Himself. It's a gift. And so freely you have received, freely you give.
Amen to that. Well, comrades, I believe, you know, we're headed out to our next adventure with our nationalist brothers and sisters, but it's been such an amazing conversation. Let's give a final thought. Sven, what do you think? Coming to the end of everything we've discussed, the idea of inheritance, the idea of blessing, the idea of fraternity, what are your final thoughts?
Well, I'll bring it back to the beginning again. We're talking about, as Florian was mentioning earlier, about this, you know, this not being in the abstract. I mean, it does begin with you. It begins with you making changes in your individual life, trying to improve your life, trying to be the best person that you can be, and having the courage to speak up when people around you are doing silly things. And when you get the opportunity to speak up and take a stand against multiculturalism, like I mentioned at the beginning with this brown beggar, people need to take it. You know, when you get opportunities, you have to take them, because, you know, that's the way God works. It works by providence. It puts things in your path to see whether you notice them and whether you do the right thing with them. And you will feel an intuition of what is the right thing to do. Sometimes it may look as if you do that thing, you know, it may be that somebody's going to have a go at you, or you might feel a little intimidated. But if you know that's the right thing to do, then you know, you should do it, and you will be rewarded for that. And sometimes, you know, you could say something and you'd be worried that the people around you are going to be shocked at that, and they won't be. And you'll actually find that you get a lot of support for it if you say something anti-Islam, or you talk something about the Jews in the media, and, you know, you could be really surprised, and the people around you may say, well, yeah, you know, I've been reading about that. Well, yeah, I agree with that. Or why are these people here? Why are they begging outside my supermarket? You know, I mean, that was the response I got. I looked around and, you know, it looked like people were shocked, but pleased that somebody had actually said it.
Had the gall to actually point out the truth.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, well, as Adolf Hitler said, the truth shall triumph in the struggle, and the truth is on our side. what we do in terms of activism, in terms of community, in terms of going to the grocery store. We should live by truth. We should be known by truth. And if we do that, God will always be on our side because we are on God's side. Simple as that. Florian Geyer, late to the show, but let us know what your final thoughts are on the topic at hand.
For the sacred man, all of life is sacred. The Christian religion teaches that when God became man, he gave the possibility for man to become God. And what that means is that every aspect of your life, from the most base and vulgar to the most eloquent and sophisticated, can be directed towards the service and glory of God and the love of your neighbor, your full community. And so this means that nothing you do is excluded from God's providence or his dominion. Our Lord Jesus Christ was fully man and experienced all of the emotions that you and I do, all of the experiences that you and I do, including our base and crude bodily needs. He ate and drank, he was lonely, he felt fellowship, and all of the rest of these things which make us truly human. But at the same time, everything that he did as truly God. And so by participating in his divine grace, his energy, his works, by entering into the mystery of his dispensation, we too can become like the God-man, Jesus Christ. And though we won't be perfect as he is, we can strive towards that goal and attain it in paradise.
Amen. We have a vision. I mean, what does sin mean? If you go back to the Greek, it means missing the mark, right? And whether you're listening to this and you're a Christian or you're a pagan or you're a deist or you believe the flying spaghetti monster, hopefully you pick some of the first options I presented. But to identify that, to miss the mark in terms of you as a man or you as a woman, living up to our virtues, our honor, to our ancestors who struggled, who farmed in times of blight, in times of misery, in times of invasion, who fought with their own blood, sweat, and tears to ensure that you had a home to live in, to grow in. You would be nothing without those who have sacrificed 10 times more than you or I could ever sacrifice to be able to ensure that Europe and her children might live. Understand the circumstance that you live in, that everything you do is duty, is honor, and that we are aiming to hit the mark. Even if we might never be perfect, we can strive to be better with every single day, physically, spiritually, mentally, improve ourselves, become stronger, become better educated, become better stewards of our brothers and sisters who are in need. My friends, my comrades, as Florian and Sven and myself, our ancestors, our church fathers, our pagan leaders, our soldiers who have died in the muck and the blood of battlefields countlessly throughout European civilization. You are a child of Europa, and you must follow natural law to ensure that your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and all future generations have a home to live in. Our sacrifices can never equal what our ancestors have done for us. But we are called to duty now and sacrifice. So whether it comes to rejecting Jewish ideas for the family, for the nation, for the self, know that you're better than this. Better than the modern West. And the world we dream of is one that is free, healthy, moral, and sovereign. And we will get there through our mutual sacrifice. So, my friends, my comrades, thank you so much for listening today. And as always, hail victory.
Hail victory. Hail victory.
Listening to the Daily Traditionalist on Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.